This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. John Graham, one of two defendants tried and convicted in the 1970s murder of Anna Mae Aquash on the Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota, has lost another appeal. Graham raised issue with his 2007 extradition. Late last week, the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals affirmed the legality of the extradition process. Victoria Wicks has more.
In December 2010, John Graham was found guilty of felony murder based on the underlying felony of kidnapping, but was acquitted of first-degree murder. The federal government started prosecution because the crime occurred on the Pine Ridge Reservation, but Graham and the victim were both Canadian, and so the state took the case. In appeals, Graham questioned how his extradition remained legal when it was a nation-to-nation agreement, and the only crime listed was premeditated murder, not felony murder. Almost a year before Graham's trial, state officials received a document they said authorized the prosecution, but the trial judge agreed to seal it. Graham and his lawyer weren't allowed to see a copy until after the trial was over and the first appeal had been filed. Most of the process was upheld by courts in South Dakota, but one issue went on to the Eighth Circuit, that Graham's conviction violated the dual criminality provision of the U.S.-Canada extradition treaty. Graham's attorney Paul Wolf explains dual criminality in oral arguments in October.
After his extradition proceedings were completed, he was indicted for something that is not a crime in Canada.
But South Dakota Assistant Attorney General Paul Sweetland responds that dual criminality is not an issue.
Frankly, even if it wasn't a crime in Canada, the Minister of Justice could still say, we're going to turn him over anyway.
Sweetland says Graham should have taken the issue up in Canada. That sealed document came from the Canadian Minister of Justice and gave permission for Pennington County to try Graham for both premeditated and felony murder. Appellate judges held that whether the Minister of Justice had authority to issue that waiver is a matter of Canadian law. For National Native News, I'm Victoria Wicks in Rapid City, South Dakota.
A federal court in Arizona has ruled the federal government must educate Native American children and address their mental health needs. From KJZZ Fronteras Desk, Laurel Morales reports, attorneys say the decision sets a precedent for other tribes.
Havasupai students and the Native American Disability Law Center sued the Federal Bureau of Indian Education so it would provide adequate teachers, special education, and mental health services. The Havasupai Elementary School currently has three teachers to educate 70 students at the bottom of the Grand Canyon. Havasupai Chairwoman Muriel Kutwaitua says the federal government has an obligation to Native communities.
Our children do not receive even minimal sufficient education. The consequences are dire for our children, for our community, and for our future.
The court's ruling recognizes for the first time in U.S. history that exposure to historic intergenerational trauma has an impact on the way kids learn. For National Native News, I'm Laurel Morales in Flagstaff.
Tribal leaders in Wisconsin joined Governor Scott Walker Tuesday as he signed bills into law. Among 64 bills signed, one makes changes to the handling of burial sites. Tribes have long fought for protection of burial mounds across the state. Another bill expands the use of tribal ID cards to include voter registration, voter ID, and alcohol and nicotine purchases. Ho-Chunk, Oneida, and Mole Lake leaders were among those at the state capitol. In a statement this week, National Indian Education Association President Dr. Jolene Bowman said Indian educators stand with teachers in Oklahoma who are currently on strike seeking pay raises and school resources. More than 100,000 students attend public schools in Oklahoma, and Bowman says when teachers do not have resources and support, Native students and all students suffer. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service.
Support from AmeriCorps Vista, whose members fight against poverty while earning money for college and gaining skills, with rewarding service opportunities around the country and info at AmeriCorps.gov/Vista. Support by the American Indian Higher Education Consortium, gateway to tribal colleges created by and for American Indians, accredited and local, with certificate programs to master's degree programs. Info at AIHEC.org.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.